Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Let's talk about a very serious matter that impacts many of us as South Africans. In particular, more than 16 million formerly employed South African income earners. From what we understand, life and disability insurance is something that we're able to access from a lot of the insurance providers in South Africa. However, the 2025 Insurance Gap Study does show that there is a shortfall in terms of the gap widening when it comes to life and disability insurance. That gap has widened by 12.5 per annum from just shy of 35 trillion rand to 50 trillion rand between 2021 and December 2024. To tell us why this metric matters and how we should actually be absorbing this information, we joined on the line by Besa Ruele, a member of ASISA, that's the Association for Savings and Investment South Africa, and Risk Board Committee. Besa, such a pleasure to have you, ma'am, and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, and thanks to your listeners as well.
I'm excited to speak to you because, first and foremost, ASISA, a very critical organization that certainly helps many of us within the industry when we act with a wide variety of insurance and investment providers. We often take for granted that key decisions, outcomes, reforms, solutions are often discussed at the level of ASISA and then make their way down to the rest of the industry, and as a result, the products that we're able to get. And I think this is important to highlight, because even something like life and disability insurance is something critical for all of us to understand and remember. Maybe let's start there as a refresher as to what these two products are and why they matter to us as productive South Africans.
Sure. So the life insurance range of products is very wide, basically providing cover for the unfortunate incidents that happen in a person's life. If we look specifically at life insurance, it allows for a lump sum payment. There's different structures, but in the main, pretty much the payment of a lump sum to your beneficiary. So the people that matter to you post your death, in order that they could carry on living the life that you would like them to carry on living, particularly if they are dependent on you. Mm-hmm. So that's in the case of life insurance. And with disability, it provides for a lump sum as well in the event of a specific event that's related to disability. So something that possibly prevents you from being able to work in the future, and then ensures that you've got an amount that allows you to basically, again, maintain a standard of living for yourself and for your dependents. So both play a pretty key role, as life can be uncertain, and life insurance has got a role to play in helping to cover for some of those uncertainties.
And I think this is so important, right? Because so often there's still some misconceptions that exist, especially when it comes to life insurance, that people aren't going to get rich off of my accord. But the truth is, if you have dependents and you want to take them to school and give them the quality of life that you want them to enjoy, life insurance is critical, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So if you think of, you're a mother with young children, I look at myself, I've got a 22-year-old and a 20-year-old still draining my pockets. If I, God forbid, something happens to me tomorrow, I'd absolutely want to be sure that they could carry on living in the way that I would desire. They could go to school and all of those types of things. The same applies in the event of disability.
100%. You could be in an accident. I could lose my voice. There's so many varieties that could actually that limit one's opportunity to earning an income. Thanks for that reminder, Besa. And I think it's important for us to highlight it. Let's talk about this insurance shortfall, because this is where our eyes should be wide, our jaws should be dropping, and this should propel us into some action. If we take a look at the last few years, from December 2021 to December 2024, this shortfall has actually increased, which essentially means that South Africans, we aren't actively taking life or disability cover. Talk us through the numbers.
Right. So, I mean, you started with the number. It's eye-watering, sobering, could be seen as depressing. But to your point, I think is perhaps a call for each individual to sort of assess and say, what does this mean for me? Mm. So if we look at the numbers, we are seeing that the gap has increased by 12.5% per annum, from 30 trillion to 50 trillion. That is almost seven times the size of South Africa's GDP, almost 20 times the size of the national budget. really material numbers. But I think when the study is made available, what's, you know, could, those numbers in themselves could feel very overwhelming. I mean, trillions is numbers of zeros that a lot of us can't even fathom. Mm-hmm. But I think it's useful to then take and look at what the numbers are showing at an average earner level. You mentioned 16.1 million earners. And what the study shows is that the average earner has got a gap on death cover of about 1.3 million. The average earner has got a disability cover gap of about 1.8 million, meaning that in the unfortunate event of death, they would be short. They would fall short of being able to cover their, you know, the lives that are dependent on them, or the standard of living that is dependent on them, to the amount of about 1.3 million rand. Mm. That's for the average earner. The call to action would be to say, it would be great for every individual to say, what does that mean for me? So if I take it personally and I look at what my outflows are, what is required of me, what is what responsibilities and liabilities that I have, what does that mean for me? So the average is 1.3 for death, for example, the gap. But that means for one individual, it could be a 5 million gap. And for another, it could be 500,000. Mm. So the ask really, or the prompt would be, with these kind of numbers, to sort of take a step and look at it and say, what does it mean for me? And what should I do about that? There are insurance products, multiple across the industry. And what the study is showing is that with this gap, the average earner would need to increase their contribution to insurance by an amount of 8.2% in order to close the gap. Oof. That's a proactive response. Mm-hmm. The reactive response could say, well, I'll wait until after the event, and then, you know, the people I leave behind will figure it out. Mm-hmm. And in that case, they would need to reduce expenses, by about a third, you know, to manage with what is left. Or somebody within the family construct would need to seek additional employment. Mm-hmm. Those are sort of the numbers that we see in the report.
Bessa, as I'm reading this, and it makes my heart sink, because it's a harsh reality, and a reality that many South Africans have actually lived through, that when they lose a loved one, they just can't afford to continue with the lifestyle that they've experienced. When someone goes through a disability, they can't continue with the lifestyle that they can maintain financially. And it does lead to a lot of pressures on so many households. And I know, because we might be in the industry and we're aware of these items and know these products and might be disciplined in terms of our contribution, we might think, hold on, 5 years ago we saw COVID. Surely everyone is aware that you need to put money away for your life insurance, for disability cover. In other words, that what if scenario that might occur. But contextualize for us why it's just been so difficult for South Africans to perhaps maintain these financial obligations. And as a result, we see the gap widening.
I mean, I think I caught the tail end of your prior conversation, and we're talking about Black Friday and the fact that things have changed and how people, you know, decide to spend, even at a time when there's a lot of excitement around sales and all of that type of thing. And that applies across the board. We live in a context where the macroeconomic environment is very tough. So affordability is a real issue. I don't believe that majority of people sit and say we don't really care, but that there's a reality on the ground. So affordability is definitely one. And I think for ourselves as a CISA, the encouragement that we have to our consumers is to say, we're not tone deaf and say everybody must just find miraculously 8.2% to invest in life insurance. Mm-hmm. The average person probably won't be able to do that, given that the difficulties on the ground. But I think it's a call to say, perhaps assess exactly what the gap is and make some plans towards closing the gap. It does not need to be closed at once. It could be something that is done over time, and can be a plan could be developed aligned with a financial advisor. We've got many of those across the industry, or through use of a lot of digital advice tools. We now have a lot of AI tools that are available. Some of them are free, and one could access those. So affordability is definitely one. Another one would be access, so distribution. And on that, I think as insurers, definitely through ASISA, there's a lot of continued work and effort around really trying to make sure that the products that we make available are accessible. you will see in the report that we've got quite gaps. You know, there's very different lenses to look at the gaps by income, by gender, by geographical location. South Africa is very rich with diversity in all aspects. And so there is a continuous effort by ASISA members, by life insurers, to really understand what those dynamics are and then ensure that we do make our product offerings accessible, relevant, and importantly, affordable, so that we can support our consumers and our society towards closing that gap.
100%. I'm so glad that you mentioned that, Bessa, because again, sometimes people get confused by the kind of products that are out there. We're too scared to communicate that. Hold on, just explain that again. I don't know what it means. And the fact that you've underscored that there's a wide variety of organizations, institutions, one that you also lead, that plays a role in also providing some feedback to these solutions. So I guess for us as South African consumers, as we not only plan our festive season budgets, but we also need to speak to professionals about the solutions that meet our needs. And of course, underscoring the fact that it does need to meet and be part of our affordability assessment. Bessa, such a pleasure to speak to you, ma'am. There's so much more I am intrigued to ask you. But we need a whole hour for that conversation, so hopefully we'll have you in studio.
Absolutely. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Such a refreshing conversation with Bessa Ruele, joining us as a member of ASISA Life and Risk Board Committee. ASISA is the Association for Savings and Investment South Africa. And the truth is, this is such an important conversation for us to be mindful of. I just recently sat down with my financial advisor and I remember going through the metrics with him, and you kind of think, yeah, well, I'm fine, I'm good, I'm sorted. And yeah, you are, until you realize that, hold on, inflation has gone up. The cost of your expenses have gone up. You know, you have different ambitions and goals. You might have new dependents, or your dependents might require more of you now going forward. So how do you ensure that when you die, not even should you die, when, it's just a matter of time, what does the financial support for your loved ones who are your dependents look like for them? You know, should you find yourself being disabled or unable to do your work, what kind of impact will that have on maintaining your lifestyle? And sometimes it's something as simple as if you are an engineer and you work with your mind and you struggle with a stroke and you need to rehabilitate yourself physically to communicate and even for your critical thinking, and it impacts your mental health, that could render you unable to actually perform your work. I'm a broadcaster, a communicator. I use my voice. If this voice is gone, I need to find another alternative, right? Same thing for individuals who work in different spaces. So this is why these types of cover do matter. And we're not saying splurge all your income on it. We are aware you still need to buy bread and milk and keep the lights on. But just make sure that you find a way of taking care of the things that do matter to you in the worst case scenario. Share your thoughts, guys. I'm always keen to hear your feedback, your questions, your experiences, and maybe some perspectives that you'd like me to be mindful of that perhaps we haven't focused on. 063-688-0959. Get your voice notes through.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.